For several weeks, we spent some time studying the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not going to rehash what we've already talked about, but you remember in Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." Children of God are indeed peacemakers. In the kingdom, our goal, of course, is to become like the King. We must be conformed to His image. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11 and 12, when He said, "They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, their sins, and their iniquities, when I remember no more." We're conformed to His image, and we are to know the Lord. Question is, am I conforming myself to His image, as Paul said in Romans 8:29? Am I doing my best to know the Lord? We read there from Hebrews 8. Six times in the New Testament, God is described as God of peace. Romans chapter 15 and verse 33. Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. Philippians 4 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. The God of peace. Jesus is described as the Lord of peace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 16. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all." That's from the New King James Version. The Lord of peace. What does it mean for Him to be Lord of peace? And what does He want for our lives? Obviously, He wants us to be like God. To be like God is to be a child of God. Jesus described the citizens of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9 as being peacemakers. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." So if I'm a child of God, I am a peacemaker. The kingdom of God is characterized by peace. As Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." A rod out of the stem of Jesse. Spirit of the Lord going to rest in him. In verses 6 through 10, he describes this peace. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. The little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the ass. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Notice he said, "in that day." We just read back in the first verse of chapter 11, that the rod would come out of the stem of Jesse. "A branch shall grow out of his roots. Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Spirit of witness and wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." In that day, when this was going to take place, statements like this may come as a surprise to us. This will be a time that is different from any that has ever existed. If you remember in the prophecies and the announcement of the birth of our Lord, Luke chapter 1 and verse 79, "to give light to them to sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." In chapter 2 and verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The peace that Isaiah talked about in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 through 10, that he describes in language that is easy to be understood, in reference to animals. We know that the animals he talks about there are not those who get along good with each other. A child doesn't play on the snake's den. We understand that. This is highly figurative language that Isaiah uses there, describing the kingdom of God, the peace that exists in his kingdom. Peace is great work of all who have yielded themselves to God, who want to reign with God. But the question arises, what does that peace mean? What does it mean for those who are children of God to be peacemakers? How do we make peace? I want to suggest to you that we're going to have to go to war to find peace. Understand that true peace begins with God. When you look at the definition of peace, Thayer says it is a state of national tranquility, exemption from the rage and havoc of war, peace between individuals, that is, harmony or concord, security, safety, prosperity, felicity, of the Messiah's peace, the way that leads to peace, of Christianity, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with this earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. You think about that aspect of peace. The tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with this earthly lot of whatsoever state that is, or whatsoever sort that is. Then he said, the blessed state of devout and upright men after death. So this peace goes on even beyond this life in which we now live in. Who we seek peace with makes a difference in our service to God. The only way to have peace with God is to be justified. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified, that means made right by God. That is, through obedience to his will. A living faith will lead us to this peace. And it only comes through the blood of Jesus, Colossians chapter 1, there, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Peace with God leads into the one body that Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the hatred, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain or two one new man, so making peace. Everybody, both Jew and Gentile, could have this peace with God by being in the body of Jesus Christ. But when we choose peace with God, it brings us into a state of war with the world. So we need to ask, whose peace do we want? In James chapter 4 and verse 4 beginning, James says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Friendship with the world, James says, is enmity or hatred. It's in direct opposition to God. War sometimes even comes within the church against those who wish to please men. Paul asks the question in Galatians 1 verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, else you'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Some who cry for peace, the loudest, simply want peace with the world. In Jeremiah's prophecy, in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14, he said, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. Say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fail, those that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Who are the ones who are going to be cast down? The ones who say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So, I suggest to you that we have to fight for peace. Those of us who are part of the kingdom of God, those who are citizens of the kingdom, must be willing to fight for peace. Even among those who call themselves children of God. Finding peace with other Christians is not easy. Peter would phrase it this way in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Peace is something that has to be pursued. It's not casual profession. It's something that we work toward our entire life. As we flee sin, we must pursue peace. Paul would say to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Pursue peace. If I don't pursue peace, I'm not going to see the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I have to be willing to pursue peace, or else I'm not going to see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Diligently. So, why is peace with our brethren so difficult? Many times we're looking out only for our own interest, not the interest of our brethren. Paul said in Romans 15, verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. We have to be a community of people, God's people, who are concerned not with just self, but with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Many are too busy to be involved with unpredictable people. And let's face it, we all are such. We're all different. And we really don't know how a person's going to react to a particular given situation. And so sometimes we just become so involved in our own, doing our own thing, that we forget about other people. We don't have love for the things of the Lord. We don't have love for the people of the Lord. There's a great deal of pressure in this life to accept the standards of the world. But remember what John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, being to do it, the will of God abideth forever. First John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. We have to be at war with the things of this world. We cannot accept the standards and dictates of the world. We must keep learning how to be at peace with one another. Paul would write in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the things that we must be pursuing. Always learning how to be better as people of God. The fruit of the Spirit. That's what the Spirit produces. We have the Spirit of God. We're given the Spirit of God when we obey the gospel. That's what Peter told those on Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive the Spirit of God. And we have the Spirit of God. These are the product of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. These are qualities that we must pursue. Keep on learning how to be at peace with one another. In our relationship with others, sometimes lessons really don't stay learned. We learn lessons, we learn principles, and then we separate from our brothers and sisters in Christ. We go to our job, we go to our places of entertainment. Maybe we go to school, various different places we go. And sometimes we forget the lessons that we have learned. We understand that our relationship with God depends on seeking peace with one another. As Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Notice the implication of that passage. That if we're not pursuing these qualities, if we're not living in peace, the God of love and peace will be with us. But if we're not living along those lines, developing these qualities in our life, then the God of peace is not going to be with us. One of the worst things to happen to a local congregation of God's people is for the membership to become overconfident and maybe even lazy in their study of God's Word and their application of it in their lives. When that happens, then Satan will take advantage of us. What kind of kingdom has followers that fight each other? Jesus said, it won't stand. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. So as a congregation of God's people, we have to work for peace, fight for peace, even with those of our own family. It takes a great deal of diligent effort to maintain peace among God's people. Now I want you to think with me about how peace can be found in the kingdom of God. In the first place, we have to preach the gospel of peace without compromise. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, the scripture says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. Preaching peace how? By Jesus Christ. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel. Preaching peace. Romans 10 and verse 15, Paul said, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The gospel of peace. It takes the gospel of Jesus Christ to produce peace. Some find peace, others go to war against us. Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, beginning of verse 34, says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. We have to do everything we can to make sure that we are finding peace with God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some find this peace. Others simply go to war against us, even among our own physical family members. But if we want the peace of God, we have to even recognize that there are those of our own family who would oppose us. But we have to remember that true peace comes from God. Without biblical faith, there can never be peace. Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 19. He said, for there must be also heresies among you. That means factions and divisions. That they which are proved may be made manifest among you. You see, there, yes, is indeed division. There's divisiveness, even among God's people, and especially between God's people and the world. It's something we can't get around. But Christ must reign in our hearts. Romans chapter 14, beginning verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and proved to men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Paul deals with this extensively in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. He said, through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make thy brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. I must want what is acceptable to God. I must be a person who is teachable. And as we mature, as we noted earlier, we put others above ourselves. If there's some matter of conscience that is, in fact, indifferent to God, I must be willing to keep from engaging in various things that would cause a brother to offend. Here Paul deals with the matter of meat. Meat that was sacrificed to idols. Some with conscience ate this as meat that was sacrificed to idols. That had been used in idol worship. They ate it with those thoughts in mind. There are others who recognized it was just meat. It didn't matter. And so their conscience was not offended. But by their eating this meat, and others thinking that it was engaging in a practice that was foreign to God's word, this was part of a religious service involving idols, they were offended. And so Paul says, I'll eat no flesh while the world standeth, unless I make my brother to offend. You see how important it is to maintain peace among brethren. No, we can't violate God's law. We've noted that. 2 John this morning. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Then it goes on to say, if in there come any and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him God's feet. For he that bids in God's feet is protector of his evil deeds. So obviously we cannot approve of that which is not according to Scripture. But as Paul was saying, Colossians 3 and verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be you thankful. That's what we're striving for, the peace of God ruling in our hearts. And so we must allow Christ to reign in our hearts. Regardless of what anyone else says or does, Christ must be supreme in my heart. Then I must grow in my service to God. Am I displaying in my life the mind of Christ? Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then he describes what Jesus did for us. He left the glories of heaven, came to this world as a man, took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. So as we display the mind of Christ, we're displaying the mind of a servant. So it is my purpose, pursuing peace with brethren. Paul to the Ephesians chapter 4, there beginning in verse 1, I therefore the prayers of the Lord beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring. That word endeavor means to work diligent or work hard at. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It takes work to pursue peace with brethren. We can't have peace with the world, but we can have peace among brethren. We all unite on thus saith the Lord. So does the words of my mouth reflect a spiritual wisdom that builds peace with others. Paul said in Romans 8 verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do I really want to be in the kingdom of God? Remember, there are lions who would rather eat the lambs. Remember the prophet Isaiah? The lion and the lamb going to lay down together. In God's kingdom, there is peace, real peace. Yes, there's going to be differences because we're different people. We think different. We act different. But in matters of spiritual things, we have to make sure that we are united on the precepts and principles of God. And so we need men and women who will fight a war for peace. We can't ignore problems. They're going to grow. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Looking diligently, so we don't fail in regard to the grace of God. We don't allow a root of bitterness to come up among us and trouble us. And as a result, we are defiled. We become impure. Why is it easier to use Satan's wisdom and call it God's wisdom? That's what the majority of the world is doing. They're using the wisdom of the world, which is simply Satan. And they're calling it God's wisdom because that's what they want to do. Going to war to find peace. Being willing to fight, to work diligently, to make sure that we have peace in the family of God. So am I really involved in seeking the peace of God? James writes, James chapter 3, beginning verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's what we're all about, making peace. The wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. That's the kind of wisdom that we're seeking for. So am I an approachable person? Am I a person that someone can trust with their problems? Can someone come to me and talk about issues and expect me to be willing to help them to find solutions to problems? There's always going to be problems among God's people. As God's people, we need to be willing to be approachable, to let others talk with us. Maybe about problems in their life, maybe problems in my life, maybe something they've seen in my life that I need to correct. Am I willing to allow them to approach me and talk about those issues? And am I one who defends the faith when others water it down? As Paul wrote to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, we read this earlier, for do now I persuade men, or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We cannot please everybody. Can't be done. But we can do our best to please God by submitting ourselves to His will in all things. Remember, Paul to the Galatians said that there's not another gospel. He said there's some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel of heaven, preach any other gospel in you than that which we preach, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. There's just one truth, one body of teaching from our Lord. If I'm going to be a peacemaker, I've got to stand on that body of truth. Otherwise, I'm not going to have the kind of peace that the Bible talks about that we should have. There's going to be discord and strife, all kinds of problems always arising. But in order to have peace, we have to stand firm on the teachings of God. And sometimes that means war. We're at war with the world. Sometimes we're at war with family members. Sometimes we're at war with members of the local body of Christ. But in all of this, we are people who are seeking peace. We're working diligently to have peace. The only way that can be accomplished is through Jesus Christ our Lord. It may be that there are those in our audience this morning that are not at peace with God. You can be at peace with God if you're willing to submit yourself in obedience to His will, believing Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and then being immersed in water for the remission of your sins. If you are a part of the body of Christ, and you realize that at some point in time you have lost this peace with God and peace with brethren, you can return to God by repenting of your sin and asking His forgiveness. If you need to respond, why not do so together? We stand and sing for encouragement.